stress has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So we have the event, that's the beginning. The middle is all that stuff inside, the excitement. And then the end is it needs an output. So it needs somewhere to go. So if yours is napping and resting, which that's what we're commanded to do, that we're supposed to take rest. This is why, because stress has an exit. It needs an end. The problem becomes when we're doing all of that and there's no exit.
Welcome everyone to podcast number 186, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg. We have our Youth and Family Director, also our Contemporary Band Leader, Jordan Kettlewell. We have Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. I remembered your last name this time. we have special guest Jessie Thompson, who is a counselor, and she's sharing her insight on mental health. We have retired pastor Barry Sweet, and myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator. So we have a big room full. Yeah.
Nailed it this time. Nice work.
Kinda. I don't know.
I've got a question I want to start off with. From the last podcast, you talked about the window and how wide it is and how tall it is. Mm-hmm. And when you say wide, you're really talking tall? Because anxiety would be off the top.
Yes.
Depression would be down off the bottom.
Yes.
And anxiety is future related, where depression is past related.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize the anxiety was future related. So we wanted to really delve into anxiety because we hear that day in and day out, and some people, well, I don't know, children have it, adults have it. So can we just kick off what is anxiety and who has it?
And I feel like, and this is the critical me that I was talking about in the last pod, so nobody will be surprised. I feel like I feel like the word anxiety is way overused. Mm-hmm. Not all stress is anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an important distinction in there, especially if we're trying to analyze ourselves and figure out if we need help, if we need to seek counseling, or if we're just stressed about mm-hmm. something and that's normal and it'll pass. Mm-hmm. So I guess is everything anxiety, Jessie?
No. Okay. So there are healthy amounts of anxiety that's healthy. God designed us that way. So if we go back to defining it, I do always reference it as fear of the future, fear of what's coming, feeling out of control, constantly worried about the what ifs. So this can spiral and this can build on itself. But there's true anxiety where we are trapped in that and it's physiological and our health is compromised as a result. So if we're living in anxiety, which can be stress and fear and worry, what we're doing is the brain is signaling that we're in danger in the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. So in the first episode when we started opening up this topic, when we were talking about trauma, we're talking about how when we face something traumatic, our brain starts to send signals that we are threatened, that our life is in danger in some way, shape, or form. And so this activates the fight, flight, or freeze response. So the fight or flight is where our heart rates are pumped. They are going very quickly. Our brains dump cortisol and adrenaline through our body to get the heart going, to get the blood flowing, to get adrenaline pumping through our veins so that we can either run or we can fight. And this is where anxiety lives. And we'll talk more about depression on a different episode, but depression is when those things don't work, then we freeze. And so the opposite happens inside our bodies. Our hearts slow down. Things are very slow. And we're low energy. So with the fight or flight, if we're there, when I say that can compromise our health, that's because over time, our bodies can't sustain high heart rates and adrenaline and cortisol pumping through. We know all the research says how harmful stress is on our body. And so over time, this is going to lead to a lot of health complications, like being sick more often. Our immune our immunity is compromised, when our mm-hmm. bodies always think we're fighting off a life-threatening situation, then our immune system is too busy fighting off this perceived threat versus fighting off disease and illness so mm-hmm. people can get sick mm-hmm. quite often. It's been linked to heart disease.
It's the chest pains.
Chest pains, yeah. That's
right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. High cholesterol, so many things. So when I just reference all of that to talk about the significance of being stressed all the time and anxiety. but in reality, here we are. So we're trying to get back into our window of tolerance and not live in this state of fear. So this can come from a lot of different things. This can be circumstantial. So we can have just like something stressful is happening in our life and it's causing a lot of anxiety surrounding that circumstance. But then there's people who just have what we call generalized anxiety. Mm-hmm. So they've had it their whole life. They're just anxious by default and they're more on edge than somebody who's dealing with a circumstantial anxiety. So when you say everybody has experienced mm-hmm. it in some way, shape, or form, we have. Mm-hmm. We have. And that's mm-hmm. God's design for us to keep us alive, to keep us activated. If we are going to get on and do a sermon on Sundays, then we need to have some level of anxiety or stress to get us going, but not in the terms of like life-threatening or harmful, but just enough to get you activated mm-hmm. to get your brain mm-hmm. going. Mm-hmm. But when it lingers, mm-hmm. that's where we're classifying it as a problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also think of playing sports my whole life. There mm-hmm. was like a healthy range of anxiety
yes.
that
yes.
helped you play right. better.
Yes. Right.
You know, but mm-hmm. it's just interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in premarital counseling, I'll ask the couple, is stress good? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they'll say no. Mm-hmm. And I say, so when you guys are looking at each other that certain way, doesn't that cause a little bit of stress? Well, yeah. Is that good or bad?
Wait till you're married.
Well, but you know, there's the stress of going to the zoo, you know, mm-hmm. we're anticipating a future event
yes.
and it creates a little bit of stress. We want to have a good time and you generally do go have a good time. That's good stress.
Mm-hmm. Kind of an excitement.
Excitement.
Anticipation.
Yes. Yeah.
So how does it bring?
I was going to say it goes away. So you said yes. it lingers. Right. So I was going to ask how, like, define how long should it linger? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you were going to ask.
Actually, basically, right along the same lines uh-huh. is like, so how do we know then when the anxiety is a problem?
Mm-hmm. When stress moves to anxiety.
Well, yeah, when it's yeah. going on too long, or when it's disproportionate to the situation, or I guess how do we look out for that?
All the above. So, if the situation happens and it's over and we feel ourselves regulated. So when I use the term regulated, that just means our heart rates are normal, our thoughts are clear. That's that whole brain experience where I can be emotional and cognitive. I can have emotion. I can approach things with feeling and compassion for others while cognitively thinking through things. So if you have one, if the event happens and you're able to come back and be like normal, regulated, then that's healthy. But if the event happens and we're still holding on to it, I wouldn't even say like 24 or 48 hours after. It's if it's weeks that our bodies are still mm-hmm. activated. And sometimes we don't know why. Mm. Sometimes the brain doesn't have that connection to where is this coming from? Which leads me to some antidotes, which we can talk about later on mm-hmm. how to identify it and how to bring comfort to it. But when we're seeing this more often than not, so we're in a state of fight or flight more than not, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're in like a life-threatening situation, like high trauma, it would be normal, even once that situation is resolved, to have some anxiety for a couple days.
Yes.
About it, just reliving it
yes.
in your mind. Mm-hmm. But then a healthy, I'm just trying to like relate mm-hmm. all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So then a healthy response would be like you were talking about Sunday mornings. For me, when we do worship on Sunday mornings, I'm emotionally at like a 10 or 11 mm-hmm. on a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday afternoon, I just want to take a nap.
Yeah.
By the time mm-hmm. we get done with service, I'm zapped. Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. exhausted because I've put mm-hmm. just mind, body, and soul at level 10 into worship. and now I'm zapped. So that's a healthy response. Both of those would be healthy responses,
though. Yes.
Just proportionate to what happened.
And it's important here, too. So this is a good segue into this. stress and anxiety, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Mm. So we have the event. That's the beginning. The middle is all that stuff inside, the excitement. And then the end is it needs an output. So it needs somewhere to go. So if yours is napping and resting, which that's what we're commanded to do, that we're supposed to take rest. This is why. Because stress has an exit. It needs an end. The problem becomes when we're doing all of that and there's no exit. So it's beginning, middle, beginning, middle, beginning, middle, which we see in our world so much today. And it builds in our system. So it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. And then we're exploding because stress never had an outlet. But eventually it will have one. It's just not going to be healthy. So this is where we're seeing outbursts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jesse, to touch on that a little bit more for our listeners and all of us, what are some healthy outlets? Because I think for me, one is just being outside.
Yes.
And like the beauty of God's creation, just getting fresh air. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that's just a really healthy outlet for me. Are there others you would recommend?
Yes. Nature's a huge one. I think that's God's gift to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he designed it that way. Rest. And so true rest isn't just napping, but true soul rest where you're filling your soul. And so sometimes this is scripture, this is praying, this is listening to a life-giving message or podcast. Music can do that, relaxing music, breathing. Mm. So breathing is really the most powerful tool we have because it's always with us. And when we're, this is where I'm going to just briefly speak about breathing. I know this sounds really like, oh, just breathe and, you know, hear all of that stuff, but it's really powerful because when we're breathing irregular and we do this subconsciously. So if we're taking in a lot of breath, but we're not letting any breath out, we're actually communicating to the brain that we're in danger. And so the brain starts kicking on that stress response system. So that's when we're anxious, we tend to do that. We take in a lot of air and we're not letting anything out. And so then the brain just starts flooding us with all of those stress hormones.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, and the opposite is true for depression. So when we're depressed, we take in no air and we're letting a lot of air out. So we hear people, we hear a lot of sighing. And when we do that, we're not giving any oxygen to the brain or to our body or cells. And so the brain thinks we're dying. And so it starts to slow us down and can perpetuate more depression. So the breath is powerful. And so when we can evenly breathe in and evenly breathe out, we hear this in military training, they call it tactile breathing or box breathing. It's just breathing 4 seconds in through the nose, holding for 4 seconds, releasing through the mouth for 4 seconds, and then pausing for four. So you're just envisioning a box four by four.
Oh, back to the window again.
Then. Yeah. So weird. But that even breath in, even breath out tells the brain I'm safe, I'm okay. So that's something to reset any stressors that we're having.
That also helps to regulate your heart rate too, right? Which affects that brain response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I find it interesting the whole concept of breath and tying that to the Holy Spirit. You know, is that that's one of the ways you identify the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And I wonder if that is part of our health. You know, having the Holy Spirit in us and part of us.
Yes,
And helps regulate us, not just spiritually, but also physically.
Yes. Yes. And breath work with scripture is really powerful too, where you're breathing in like a verse that's life-giving and breathing out that he's with me. So this is some exercises we can do in counseling.
Sure.
Which in Eastern mysticism or Eastern religions, they have a mantra that they follow. And it's that same kind of regulated. Christians, we replace a mantra with scripture.
Yes. Yes. We do that with yoga.
Well, that's akin to also, you know, boot camps when you're singing cadence while you're running. The whole purpose of that is to regulate your breathing, regulate your heart rate.
But I never realized, I never heard that before, breathing while reading scripture. That's that would be extremely powerful because then you can concentrate on being loved.
Yes.
I like that.
So, okay.
Taking in the Holy Spirit.
Drinking in the spirit.
In the spirit.
Meditating on.
Meditating. And some other things are just the simple five senses. So grounding with what five things I see, five things I hear, five things I smell, taste and touch. Because what is happening is when our brain is doing that, we talked about that, fight, flight, freeze. We can't access the higher order thinking. So we're half-brained at this point and we want to be whole brain. That takes us back to a state of regulation. Just stopping and focusing on what's here right now can do that for your brain. And we do this with little kids a lot because this is super helpful for them. And focusing on what is true right now. Like anxiety is lack of control. But what can I control? What is true? Like the ground is firm beneath my feet. Mm. Just simple reminders of what we are able to see and control in that span of control.
And it brings you back to reality because that, that fear of what could be is not reality.
Right.
It might be reality at some point in the future, but at the moment it's not reality. So that helps a lot in bringing you back to what reality is.
I remember there was a time in my life where I was oncoming hit. I wasn't hurt or anything, but that was a stressor to me. And I had to drive a lot for work, a couple hours each way. And so I got this, I call it freeway anxiety. And I literally could not drive on a freeway. And so I had to use that breathing technique to get me, you know, down the freeway. Sometimes I'd have to exit and then get back on. And then eventually went away, but it was such a weird anxiety, but it was so real. Yes. And driving anxiety.
It is. I bet everybody who gets into an accident at some point has to cognitively think, I can do this.
And it didn't happen for a long time too.
Really?
I mean, I shouldn't say it didn't happen right away. Like down the road, I experienced it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. It takes time for the brain to process.
Yeah.
And then when it makes an association, it's a negative association with the event. And then what you literally did for yourself was rewire the association.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be okay. Or whatever you're telling yourself.
Oh my gosh.
Everything's going to be okay. And then once you found truth in that, like, I am okay, actually. I haven't gotten into another accident. Mm-hmm. A new pathway is formed and the association is, this is safe and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to get, it's like exposure therapy.
Yeah.
To reduce anxiety.
And you see that fitting your definition of trauma. So that event occurred and it changed how you saw the world.
Yeah.
Now the freeway is a dangerous place.
Yes.
Yes.
Where I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Really don't want to go.
Yeah.
I wonder if another helpful phrase you can say to yourself is, God's got this. Because that way I don't have to carry it. Yep. And it's null on me.
That's really good.
The control piece, then we can give it to God. God's got this.
Yes.
And maybe a little bit more trust can creep back in that we tried to be in control of. So it's another way to do a mantra, but using spirit, Christian language.
Does journaling play into that too?
Yes, journaling's huge because it's taking a lot of what trauma can do is it can be messy in our head and it makes no sense. And so any way that can help make sense of things and put it in order alleviates that anxiety. So journaling is powerful because we can do that. We can brain dump all the things that we're thinking and just write it out on paper. And when we do that, first we're getting rid of it. So it's out of here and on here. But secondly, we can make sense of what happened, which can give us some sense of control. That's in our power anyways, of like, okay, this wasn't my fault. Somebody, whatever happened on the freeway, did.
Yeah,
this
it was
to
an
me.
Old man that fell asleep.
Yes.
So it was not his fault. He was, everything was fine, but it was scary.
But it causes you to slow down too.
Yes.
Because you can only write so fast.
Yeah.
And I find that journaling does that for me. It just allows me to think a little bit more. In thinking, God's got this, or, there's nothing that God and I can't handle together, those kinds of things, or scripture that comes to mind that allows you to just rest in what God wants you to rest in, as opposed to what's facing you at the moment.
Yes. And there is some research that talks about journaling unlocks our subconscious mind too. And so it just opens up different networks of memories that can come flooding. So we can release even more things. But ultimately, being able to find the connection between the anxiety provoking event and what I'm feeling and thinking now is what it does.
Okay.
So what do you do with people who hide that? For instance, you've got this future event coming up and you find you're getting a little anxious about it in a bad way, right? Not like, oh, a wedding's coming up and I want everything to be perfect, you know. But there's anxiety coming up and again, going back to Elijah, this abiding with Christ, this resting in the Spirit, how does that, because I see two things happening. I see ignoring the problem, you know, we could see resting in Christ or just abiding with Christ, that whatever it is, half hour, 45 minutes of just being with God as a means of allowing ourselves to slow down physiologically, right? But could somebody say, well, that's, you're just escaping the problem. You're not addressing the issue. How do you deal with that?
Okay, so let me understand your question.
Oh.
I'm trying to understand your question a little bit. So
I'm feeling stressed.
So if you're saying they're like handing it all over.
Yep, handing it all over to God. Somebody would say, oh, you're just using God as a crutch. And I would say, no, I'm meeting a person who is going to help me through this. I'm just going to rest with him for a while and he's going to tell me whatever I need to know and I'm going to be okay.
Well, that's not, so some of the argument to that is that it's not ignoring the problem because you fully acknowledge there's a problem. Okay, this, I'm stressed about this upcoming event. And so a lot of what we do in counseling is being present and being in your in yourself and understanding where things are coming from so that we're not ignoring things. And that's what I hear is happening in your scenario is, okay, I'm feeling this. What is it? So I'm always asking people, what would you name this feeling that you're having? Because we can, we've heard this in some of the Dan Siegel's work I referenced in the last episode. He talks about name it to tame it. So if you can name what's going on, you can tame it.
Yes.
And so that's the exercise that you're doing in your proposed exercise here. So what is it that I'm feeling? Okay, this is anxiety. And then the next step is asking the Lord, okay, God, where is this coming from? Well, this is coming from an upcoming event. Okay. Okay, so what does this need to bring it comfort? You need to just lay with me or rest with me or abide in me. So I'm hearing you, this person doing this in this exercise.
Well, anyone,
yeah, so this is name it to tame it. You're feeling it to heal it. That's another thing that we use. And you're allowing the Spirit to work in this. So this is not ignoring it at all. This is actually quite opposite in what we have people do when they're experiencing a lot of anxiety about something or any big emotion.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
All right. I think with that, we will wrap up this podcast. We have one more coming up and we will be talking about depression. So thank you to all our listeners for listening today. We really appreciate it. We come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church and we have two services on Sunday that we would love to have you join. One is at 9 a.m. It's traditional. And then we have a 10:45 contemporary. Also, every second and fourth Wednesday, we have a service at 7:15 p.m. And it's different topics, more of a question answer. Go into a little bit more depth. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can call us at 989-732-5380, or you can Google us and our website. Could answer a lot of your questions. So thanks again, and we hope you join us in the next podcast.